What's up, Center Point? Yes, you guys excited? Man, it's the all-church celebration for crying out loud. I know you're excited about this document you got in when you came in this morning, right? Pastor Ryan is going to be so pleased that nobody is just going to leave this in their chair discarded at the end of service today. He's going to be so happy to see that people are going to come rushing up and saying, I didn't get my annual report. And Megan's going to have to say, sorry, we're all out. I mean, those things were such a hot item that we're just going. And Ryan is going to be so glad when that happens. Am I right? All right. What you have in your hand, if you have this document, is you do have some written snapshots of what's been happening in the life of our church over the last year. And when I say the last year, just so we're all on the same page, no pun intended about a written report, but so we're all on the same page. Our fiscal year in the life of our church, and this is really for our whole district, for the District of Florida Church of the Nazarene, our fiscal year runs from March 1 to February 28th, sometimes February 29th, depending on leap year. And so when we talk about reporting and statistics and all that kind of stuff, we're talking about it within the framework of that March to February date. Now, something's about to happen. I'm about to share with you something that I originally launched out calling like a state of the church address. But the more I got into it, the more I realized this isn't so much a state of the church address as much as it is kind of a year in review and looking where we've been, but also looking at some things that are coming in the days ahead. All right. So Pastor Hobby's already talked a little bit about this. We're going to have a time here this morning in this room, but when we're done today, we're literally going to exit these front right doors, and we're going to make our way down the hall, and there's going to be a lot of food lined up. So lunch is already provided for you. I hope you brought sides and desserts. If you didn't get that memo, don't worry about that. Come on and share in the food and the fun. Anyway, there's an inflatable out back. There's volleyball and cube and cornhole and like board games throughout the plaza. So we just want to be able to share a time of celebration today as a church family. And as we do that, I'm going to launch into something that literally, I hope when you're done, I hope you say, like, I just wanted a drink of water and Pastor Dwayne turned a fire hose on me. You know, like, that's basically what's about to happen. So we're going to go through this stuff quickly because I don't want you to fall asleep on me, and I want us to be able to get out and enjoy time together. But do have some things that I want to talk about, some lighter and some heavier in their content. But with that said, let me pray, and we're going to jump into this thing, all right? God, thank you so much for this day. God, thank you for the opportunity to be here. As Carolyn has already said, Lord, to celebrate not only God's Center Point Church and all that this means for so many right here in this body, but God, to celebrate your church and this call that you've placed on us as believers. So Lord, we just ask that you take this time right now and that you bless it, Lord, not only to, Lord, encourage us by looking at what you've been doing in the past, but God, to challenge us to be even more faithful, more generous, more active in our going and our doing in the days ahead. And Lord, I pray that everything we do, that everything we give, that every initiative we start, God, would simply grow out of who you're calling us to be as your children. So God, thank you for the gifts of grace and love. Thank you for the gift of salvation. God, may that not be a gift that we keep to ourselves. May we be free to share of your grace and your love with those around us and to be faithful to be the church that you're calling us to be. We love you, Lord, and we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Okay, here's the deal. Last week was the most difficult sermon I've ever preached in my life. If you weren't here, just take that for what it is. Easter Sunday, I shared part of my story over the last year of my life. Very difficult to stand up and do that. So this week for our year in review, I felt like that maybe just for me personally, I needed to do something a little different. And so here we go. I wrote a year in review rap. All right. Well, don't get too excited. Here's the I thought, man, what if I could like take the entire year and narrow it down and write a rap about the entire year, and then the whole thing would just be a rhyming rap. The problem is I'm not a rapper. The second problem is I'm not a very good rap writer. But I did get it started, so I was going to share the first few lines with you. Recently, I told you last year was the worst, alone and dark, but I'm not the first to go through that hurt and feel that pain. This church was a place of safety in my reign. We walked together up and down the road But like a lot of congregations, 20% carry 80% of the load. See what I did there? Giving and serving, time and sacrifice, such a small way to thank the Lord for life. So step up and step in. This is the beginning, not the end. We got work to do in our community, and I tell you the truth, it starts with you and me. For we are the church. No, not the only one. Lots of churches in Orlando getting it done, but we have a part to play. Be all He wants us to be for a lost and dying. Got to tell them that they're free. Free to live in Him, not in sin. That only keeps guilt and shame in. So tell your story. It's all for God's glory. So here we go, our year in review. Thankful that He's not done with me and you. All right? Woo, woo. Now, seriously, y'all wouldn't want to listen to 30 minutes of that, would you? What? Okay, seriously. The hope at Centerpoint is that we are continually growing in our faith and maturing in Jesus Christ so that we look and we live and we smell like Jesus, okay? It's a little side joke for Pastor Alyssa. Last Easter, she prayed that we would smell like the Lord. Pastor Alyssa's in the back working the media for me right now, so I need to go easy on that, okay? How do you measure the success of a church? When we sit at a year in review and we ask this question, how do we measure the success of the church? Well, historically, there have been a couple of traditional markers in the life of the church. We tend to traditionally track attendance. And here's what that means. We ask the questions as church people, did more people come in our building and sit in our seats this year than they did last year? And if we're not careful, what we'll do is we'll say, yes, more people walked through our doors and sat in our seats. And so you know what? We had a very successful year because more people did that this year than last year. I'm not sure that that is the greatest marker with which to measure the success of a church. Do we want people to be a part of the body? Absolutely, we do. And I got news for you, Centerpoint. You, me, we are the marketing strategy for Centerpoint Church. Let me say that again. We are the marketing strategy for Centerpoint Church as we have an opportunity to go out and live our lives in such a way that the people in the world around us say, this is ludicrous that you live your life in this way. Why do you do that? And you have an open door to tell them about the grace and love of Jesus and the fact that you belong to a body of Christ where people are seeking to love each other and be more like Christ in all of life. And perhaps if they don't have a church home, they may want to come with you and be a part of that. You are the marketing strategy for Centerpoint Church. One of the other traditional markers for success in the life of the church that has to do with money. And we tend to keep stats on attendance. We tend to keep stats on money. And thankfully at Centerpoint, we've been able to hold our own financially. But I got to tell you the truth. One of the more challenging pieces of this report. We need more people to step up in their lives of faithfulness and generosity as it relates to their finances. So whereas the Lord has been able to take care of us financially, earlier I said 20% carry 80% of the load. The truth is that at Centerpoint right now where we are is that 25 families carry about 50% of the financial load. We need more families. We need more giving units to be able to step up and step into that vein and that flow of life and generosity together. And so we not only need everybody to participate, but we accept this call seriously that God's put money in our lives to be great stewards of that, not simply so we can get all we can all we get, but so that we can live generous lives as His people. And so Centerpoint, not only are we the marketing strategy for this church, we are also the primary investors for this church and the investors into her mission, the mission that God has placed on us. And we're going to continue to trust that the Lord is going to provide for us in the days ahead. And it takes everybody who's a part of the body stepping up and proving faithful. Well, how do we measure the success of the church? I want to appeal to us that despite the traditional markers that we tend to deal with as it relates to attendance and money, that I think there are some other options for us. I think there's the reality of life together and life change that's taking place and how this unfolds in the mission and how life together grows out of us living the mission together. So it's not a wrap. But I do want to walk us through the last year of our life together. This is not an exhaustive list. I'm going to miss somebody. I'm going to miss some event. Just settle down, calm down. It'll be okay. Like the Lord's still with us, all that good stuff. Our church year started out last Tuesday our last year, Tuesday, March 1st. And as it relates to life together, last year on Wednesday, March 2nd, we had probably the saddest event in the life of this church in a very long time as little Joanna Torres passed away. For those of you that are concerned, I do this with Mio and Liliana's permission. We lost little Joanna right as we got into the church year. And very blessed as a pastor to see the body of Christ that started to rise up around the Torres family through this time. And obviously they are still journeying through this time. But even over a year later, just this past Wednesday night, Mio sat in the men's ministry group and he gave testimony about how God is working in his life and in the life of his family, and gratitude for this body of faith that's been able to surround them during these very dark and sad days as they continue to walk this road of loss. And coming out of that, though, in the midst of the loss of Joanna, they were able to welcome baby Stella into their lives. And so, again, on Wednesday night, Mio mentions the fact that I've been blessed with three daughters, three little girls, one which is in heaven, and two which I got a responsibility to raise well, even here today. And so we celebrate with the Torres family the gift of new life and baby Stella. But here's the thing. Stella just serves as an image for us, because this past year, from March to February, we've welcomed 16 brand new babies into the life of our church. And we thank the Lord. Yeah. Thank the Lord for new life and for health along the way. And don't get me wrong, there are obviously challenges along the way, but the Lord is working in the lives of people. Well, as we celebrate children along with the realities of March, we celebrate some children in a different way as we welcome the African Children's Choir. And we set out on this idea of a one-year focus on Africa as our Swaziland team is preparing. But we were able to welcome in the African Children's Choir, and they led us in worship. And many of you were able to be hospitable and welcome these children into your homes and hear stories about how God's at work in the lives of children in Uganda and in Kenya. And also, in staying true to this focus of Africa, we were able to hear from Joe and Beth Heath as they've welcomed baby Peter into their lives. And then they've been commissioned now as missionaries in the Church of the Nazarene and have been working in Johannesburg in South Africa. And we celebrate with them. And then also staying true to the focus on Africa for this past year, we have 12 right now that are gearing up this summer. Less than 3 months today from today, we will be in Swaziland on the ground working with the Luke Commission. And all that started back there in March as we started this journey together. Well, in April, we were encouraged to begin to start taking seriously this call on our lives to not only start to pray for our neighbors, but to also begin to bless our neighbors in very significant ways, understanding this idea that wherever God has placed us, regardless of our living situation, maybe we live in an apartment, maybe we live in a townhome, maybe we live in a neighborhood, but to be able to take a principle as simple as a tic-tac-toe board and to be able to put our home somewhere on that board and to be able to identify the people that live closest to us and to begin praying for them and reaching out to them in relationship. Also, April of last year, thanks to the previous Christmas offering and another private donation that we received, we were able to update our lighting system in the worship center and also in the plaza and also on the stage here. And to date, just wanted to let you know that in that 1 year span, we've already saved over $13,000 in utility costs. And so that investment is already starting to pay for himself. So praise the Lord for that. And thank you for responding. Yeah. Thank you for responding very generously. In May of last year, we celebrated Faith Promise as we do every year near the end of April, beginning of May. And last year, we were able to have with us missionary brother Bob Prescott, who's now out of the Baltimore area, but really has focused a lot of his life and his ministry in Cuba. And so he was with us, and he was able to share about what God's doing in Cuba. And I know even for me, you know, growing up, the idea of Cuba was not a very attractive idea in terms of going there to do mission because of the way we're grown up and the Cold War and all this kind of stuff. Well, a lot of those barriers have been removed. And so folks like Bob Prescott are now taking people down to short-term opportunities, mission opportunities in Cuba. And so the Church of the Nazarene is on the move in Cuba. And perhaps one day Centerpoint will be on the move in Cuba. Pastor Fabi has it placed on her heart to be able to get a group to Cuba in the days ahead. Maybe that's something you would begin praying about when that opportunity arises. Well, also on that day, with Brother Bob Prescott, on that day as a part of our Faith Promise Sunday, we gave pledges for the money that we were going to be bringing into the church so that it could go back out for missions around the world. And on that day, we made pledges, and over the course of that 1 year, received and sent out over $61,000 for global missions through the Church of the Nazarene and also local initiatives right here in the city of Orlando. So thank you so much. As you pay your faith promise each week, that's where that's going all around the world. And so as we gear up for this year, May 7th, as Javi said already this morning, we're going to be having Pastor Spencer Baggett, who was a missionary in, I believe, the Horn of Africa. And Spencer's going to be with us, going to be sharing about what God's doing around the world. And also, again, that challenge and that call on our lives to be faithful, not only in our going, but also in our giving. We spent the entire summer, last summer, in the letter of Hebrews. And we walked through that thing, but then we landed on Hebrews chapter 13. And we walked through Hebrews 13 as the writer of Hebrews basically is trying to help these young believers figure out, how do you be Christian in a world like ours? And we ended each and every service last summer with this benediction out of Hebrews 13. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may that God of peace equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." And we talked about this idea that in Hebrews there were a group of believers, they were being tempted to turn back because of trial, because of suffering, because of temptation, because of others saying that there's a better way, not the Lord Jesus. And we were encouraged and challenged. Friends, wherever you are in your journey, wherever you are on this road, don't turn back. Keep going and let the Lord help us through these times of trial, and let's run with Jesus this race that's been marked out before us. Well, once we got into June, we had to say goodbye to Pastor Travis and Laura as they accepted a call to go to Midland Valley Church in Midland Valley, South Carolina. And in the midst of, in the midst of that loss, the Lord provided, and we were able to welcome Pastors Javier and Fabiana Rojas to the staff. And I got to tell you, yeah. Well, they do. They told you, like, hey, if Pastor Dwayne mentions us today, clap real good. Now, we were able to welcome them to our staff, and just the realities of having not only having a couple in this role that can speak into the lives of both males and females at these very important parts on their journey as they're walking adolescence, but also for us to be able to have a bilingual staff in a community like ours, very, very important. Javi and Fabi are smart and passionate. They understand teens. They not only love teens, they actually like teenagers, and they want to walk with them and talk about the deep things of faith. And I would just say to you, on behalf of Javi and Fabi and on behalf of Pastor Ryan, perhaps it's time for you to step up and to step into a new role of leadership within the children's ministry or the youth ministry. We don't bring on staff for them to be simply the doers of ministry. We bring on staff to help equip and mobilize the people in the congregation to help us be a community that's able to surround our children and our teens. And maybe you need to have a conversation with Pastor Ryan or Pastor Javi or Pastor Fabi about your next step in that ministry. Well, Javi and Fabi, they got thrown into this gig, and it was kind of trial by fire because we welcomed them onto the staff 1 week, and literally the next week they loaded up on a bus and they went to camp. And so with that, I want to invite you to turn your attention to the screen and let's see last year's camp recap. We're going to enter into a video portion of the report, and you know, things happen all throughout the year that we want to be able to capture, and it takes time to update and edit all that kind of stuff. If your student from 6th through 12th grade right now is not signed up for camp, now is the time to get them on that list so they can be a part of that time that's coming up right here in June, just about a month and a half away. Well, when it comes to video, there are things that happen in the life of the church, and when you don't get them on video, you're like, oh, why did I not have my phone out right then videoing that? And so right after camp, we went into Father's Day, and we were playing a Father's Day game down here called Go Get Me. And this is where guys, dads had to run out and get stuff from the congregation. And it was down to two people, Brad Miles and Don Myers. And I said, hey, go get me a mint from the visitor's table. And they took off running, and Brad was running, I'm not kidding, full tilt down this aisle right here. And why I did not have my phone out right then videoing, because the guy did a face plant right here, right down front. I mean, and it was like a boo-doom, like that whole kind of thing. And, you know, one day I can't believe I didn't video that. And one of the teens said, well, actually I did. And I just found this out this week. Yeah, so we wanted to show you Brad Miles doing the face plant last Father's Day. Just for clarification, especially if you're visiting with us, that was not Brad, okay? But it is so funny to think about that being him. Well, 2 weeks after camp, 1 week after Father's Day, our teens went on to a mission trip in Nashville, Tennessee. And again, I want to invite you to focus your attention on the screen. There's debate that takes place within the larger evangelical church, specifically in North America, about the value of short-term mission trips. And there's an element of people out there who would say, why would you ever take a short-term mission trip? Why would you ever spend money going somewhere else when there's so much need right in your own community? We believe in short-term missions. We believe in the investment and the time it takes to raise funds to be able to go, because we carry this conviction that while we may be able to go and help in another location, that the real work that's being done in the hearts and lives of people is as God is better equipping us to be able to love and serve locally. And so as we go, we have opportunity to be shaped and to be changed and to have an impact on the lives of others. Well, this summer, three of those types of trips are taking place. This summer, our junior hires will be going to Miami, Florida, through an organization called the DOOR program. And again, parents, if you're out there and you don't have your junior hire signed up for this trip, great opportunity for them to go love and serve, grow closer in the midst of the youth group, and also be shaped along the way. Our high schoolers are going to be going to New York City this summer. Same thing for high schoolers if you're not already registered for this deal. And then we have a group of 12 from Centerpoint that does include two teenagers that will be going to Swaziland, Africa here in July. And so we just want to take this opportunity, as we will do this again in the future, but to thank you, the congregation, because as you've been able to celebrate through the scholarship fund, as you participate in fundraisers and in fundraisers, you equip people to be able to go. And so perhaps at this point, you haven't been able to go. In the days ahead, you will have that opportunity. And ultimately, we want everybody who calls Centerpoint home at some point to be able to get on a mission trip and to see what God's doing and let God speak to them as He sees fit. And so, as Javi mentioned earlier, May 7th, we're having a fundraiser on behalf of the Swaziland team. And then on Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're having some different fundraisers on behalf of the youth ministry to help students and parents as they are getting their students on these trips. So anyway, there's missions there. By the time we got to the end of June, children's camp hits. And kudos to Pastor Ryan and his crew, because Pastor Ryan's out there making it happen with our kids and our families. And so as our kids are able to go to camp, have an incredible experience again, I want to invite you to turn your attention to the screen. Thank you, Pastor Ryan. So Ryan comes off of camp and he goes straight into VBS, and we're going to have a pastor to congregation talk right now. And I'm doing this on behalf of Pastor Ryan. Here you go. We're falling into this trap at Centerpoint where opportunities come up to love and serve. Think about extravaganza. Think about camp or mission trip. Think about VBS. And here's what's happening to my very organized children's pastor. People are delaying in their signing up and their commitment. And here's what happens. It makes him have a conniption. He's freaking out on us, okay? And so here's what I'm going to ask you of you. As we think about the future, as we move into the days ahead, let's not be procrastinators and stepping up to at least let the man know where he stands. And so here's what's going on as we're getting close to these events. I don't know if we're going to be able to pull this off. Where do we stand? And then what tends to be the pattern here at Center Point is then there's this flood of volunteers who come in, and we sit back and we go, whoo, pulled that off. That's not where the man likes to live. So Pastor Ryan, if that's a fair assessment, or thumbs up, okay. So as we think about VBS coming up, go ahead, get on the list, make it happen. And Pastor Ryan has a great team of people that help him. Thank you to our children's volunteers and his smaller teams that come together to make things like daddy-daughter ball, VBS, extravaganza, camp, all that kind of stuff. He needs people to be able to help along the way. And so also, as it relates to VBS, had a great group last year. Help us pull this thing off. About, 120, 130 volunteers. Help us make that happen. So if you had anything to do last year with VBS, thank you, thank you, thank you for stepping up and stepping into that role. And with that said, one more video as we look at our vision for VBS this July. All right, so Deep Sea Discovery coming this July. Go ahead and be on the lookout for how we can help Pastor Ryan make that happen for our community, for our church, and not the least of which is our Journey Early Learning Center and the relationships that we've been able to build through Journey. So last August, we launched into a new preschool year, and I want to take this opportunity to thank Darcy and her leadership team as they make Journey Early Learning Center happen year after year. Current role enrollment is about 182 students, and Darcy, you understand, does not do that alone. She has a team, Pam Roy and Tammy John, and another large group of teachers who help make that happen year after year. And so thank you very much, Darcy. This year we've been able to do some things to come alongside Journey with the development of a Journey Council. And so Pastor Ryan and Darcy working together have been able to bring together a team of teachers and parents and folks from the congregation to just provide extra love and support for Journey as we move into the future. In September, as is tradition from a preaching standpoint, we revisit the vision at Center Point to become more like Christ in each and every area of our lives. And we do that through three practices: worship, fellowship, and service. And so last September, we dealt with this idea that to whom much has been given, much has been required. And so if we as people of God have received the grace and love of Jesus, we've been then called to not only give thanks to the Lord as a lifestyle, but to also live life with one another and to be reaching out to the world around us with this story. And so my hope, my prayer for my own life and also for our congregation is that we continue to become and look more like Christ in each and every area of our lives. Well, also in September last year, we launched a brand new men's ministry. At least in the last 5 years, we have not had a men's ministry. We launched a brand new men's ministry under the leadership of Shane Angola. There's good looking Shane right there. All right, so if you're wondering who the men's ministry leader is, that's him. And so we're up and running, trying to reach out to men, not only in this church, but in the community around us. And also our women's ministry is up and running under the leadership of Carolyn Novak. And if you have been able... It's like you just hit a big putt or something. Women's ministry's up and running. If you've never been able to be a part of the retreat, now's the time to get registered for the women's retreat, which is happening in September. And they're celebrating 5 years, and that is going to be in St. Augustine. No, Amelia Island. Amelia Island. So you can speak to Carolyn Novak or Kristen Idiles about that. Well, our larger fellowship umbrella under the mission and vision of the church actually contains five elements: men's ministry, women's ministry, Sunday school, community group, and our Wednesday night electives. Dan McKinley is actually stepping up into a role to help us facilitate that because we carry this conviction that as believers, we have to be in relationship with one another. Our walk with one another is very much a part of the maturing process in our walk with Jesus Christ. And so if you're not connected in one of those five arenas, you're not in a community group or you're not connected through Sunday school or Wednesday night or men or women's ministry, please let us help you get connected to other believers on some level through that process. And Dan McKinley can help us out with that. Also, as a part of our Journey Early Learning Center, our Grow ministry happens. Andrea Schlottman has been leading our Grow group over the past year. Yeah, you can clap for that. Right here in this room, Thursday mornings throughout the school year, this past year, we've been welcoming about 60 women into this group. And again, not something Andrea does alone. She relies on committed, faithful folks of Center Point to be a part of that and to be table leaders and table hosts. And so, Andrea, thank you so much on behalf of the church and on behalf of Journey. Thank you for all that you're doing with Grow. Well, also in September, we celebrated as a family our 5-year anniversary at Centerpoint. And what I've noticed is that the longer I've been here, the more comments I'm starting to get about gray hair coming in. And I tend to get those from people who also have gray hair. Bob Sparrow is one of those people. I mean, he loves to just come in and look and smile and, you know, you're getting really gray. Are you awake, Bob? Okay, no, okay. So Bob's not awake. We can talk about him a little bit longer. You know, so even just this past week, the People's family were in town, and Nick's remarking about gray hair. And, you know, I think, like, what's going on? Because it's true, I didn't used to have a lot of gray hair. In fact, 5 years ago when I got here, I mean, this is what I looked like. I mean, you guys remember that. And so I'm not sure what's happened in the last 5 years to start making my gray fill in so much. But then I think about it, and I pull back, and I think maybe it's not simply the church that's making me gray. Maybe there's some other factors at work that are making me gray. And so here I am in my home being forced to play a ukulele while wearing a girl's headband, and Avery's threatening to pour mouthwash on my head. And so I think there's a lot of stuff going on in my life that's probably making that happen. But along the way, we are glad to be here. We are blessed to be here. 5 years went by way too quickly, but we feel at peace about where God's called us. And pray for me as I age, that I will age more gracefully along the way. September also brings with it ovations. Ovations is an incredible event where we get to come together and simply honor and thank those folks who have been serving. And so ovations, we get to celebrate our volunteers. And so it gives us an opportunity to be able to say, like, come in, enjoy the night, relax. And so this past year, we played Family Feud as a group of volunteers. And Travis Blue built the most awesome set as we were up here. And I just want to take this opportunity to say to you, if you are a volunteer at Centerpoint in any capacity, in an upfront capacity, in a behind-the-scenes capacity, where nobody ever sees it or even knows about it, thank you very much for all that you do to make it happen right here in and through Centerpoint Church. I applaud you. Thank you. With that said, but in a new breath, we need more of you. We need more volunteers. We need more folks to be able to step up and take the lead. And so if that's you, and you know you're ready to step into a new role or step into a greater role of your leadership here in this church, we, our staff, our board leaders, we want to be able to help you have that conversation. Well, in October, we got to hear, as Pastor Javi and Fabi were kind of getting into their role, got to hear their testimony as they were able to share the story of their family life and what it is that brought them to Orlando. Also in October, we celebrated All Saints Day. We celebrate All Saints Day every year at the end of October or the beginning of November, specifically as a time for us to look back on those that we have lost within the congregation over the past year. Well, in November, we shared in our first ever Orphan Sunday. And so many of you will remember coming in November and getting soda and popcorn, and we watched the documentary Find Me. We're looking forward to our next Orphan Sunday on November 12th as we seek to bring awareness to the realities of foster care and emergency foster care and adoption. Perhaps that you would begin praying about that along the way and see if that's a conversation that in any capacity that the Lord wants to have with you and your family. In December, our kids were up before us, and they brought us Sheep in Heavenly Peace. Awesome job from all our kids with bringing the Christmas message to us. So thank you so much to all our kids that are out there. Also in December, we received our second ever Christmas offering. And to date, this is actually a typo in your written report that you received this morning. To date, we've received $46,755. And just as a reminder about those initiatives, we've already been able to send a 10% gift to the Schmelzenbos in Swaziland. Looking forward to initiating new love pantries this fall for our local schools. And moving towards children's wing updates in our children's ministry. And so thank you so much for your generous response to our Christmas offering. Operation Christmas Child, we were able to bless 128 kids literally around the world through Operation Christmas Child. Right here in Orlando, through Gift of Hope and leadership of Bev Foster and her team, we're able to bless 51 families, 147 kids that were served with 36 volunteers, making Gift of Hope happen right here for folks in our own community. In January, once we got into the new year, Pastor Ryan and Darcy teamed up to bring in Yancey, one of the nation's renowned worship leaders for children, and a very cool opportunity for her to be able to sit up here and talk about this idea that worship is not this emotional high where we gather in and sing songs. Worship is this lifestyle that the Lord is calling us to live each and every day. We also, in January, entered into an 8-week upward season with over 100 kids involved there. Megan Blue and Will Foreman make that happen for us again with a great team of leaders and volunteers and coaches along the way. So thanks to Megan and Will for making Upward happen for us. In February, we launched into... Amy, all right. In February, we entered into what would be our final month of the fiscal year, and that brings with us election of a new church board for a new season of ministry. And it's not uncommon for me to get this question. Well, Pastor Dwayne, what's the criteria for being a church board member? How do I get elected to the church board? And I just want to share that with you this morning. I don't know that I have ever done this with you before. But in order to be nominated for the church board, you obviously have to be a member of the church. And you obviously have to be a professing believer in Jesus Christ. And that is being evidenced in your life. Well, also along the way, we want to see that there's a commitment to the mission and the vision that God has given us right here at Centerpoint. And so we asked some of the questions about involvement, not only in worship and faithfulness in worship, but financial stewardship and financial faithfulness and financial faithfulness in living life with other believers. And also asked the questions about serving. Are you serving within the four walls? Are you serving outside the four walls of the church? And so even as it relates to some of the highest levels of lay leadership in the life of the church, we have to have people who are willing to step up and to step into those roles. And I got to tell you, I'm very excited about the church board that we've just entered into this new year with, this great group of leaders. J.T. Crowder's, Jim Getz, Kristen Idiels, Lisa Matthews, Dan McKinley, Keith Meese, Shelley Miles, Don Myers, Zach Phillips, and James Tayo. So thank you. If you're here today and you're on the church board, thank you so much for your leadership, for your role, and the part you play in the life of our church. One of my primary leadership teams along with our staff. Also, the question could be asked, well, what do they do? Well, within our church board, we have several committees. We have a building and property committee that oversees our building and our property. Lots of space, lots of square footage, lots of moving parts, lots of things that break and have to be fixed and all that kind of stuff. And we have a team that oversees the financial realities in the life of the church to make sure we're being good stewards of all that God has called us, to make sure we're able to prioritize mission as it relates to our spending. We have a committee that oversees our pastoral care and not only loves on us, but would be the team that would be there if something of crisis ever happened among the pastoral staff. And they also will have conversations with people who say, the Lord's calling me into ministry and I would like to get my local license or move towards getting a district license of ministry. That team gathers around those folks. And then also we have a personnel and policy committee who kind of the HR segment of in the life of the church. A lot of people don't think about this. A lot of people don't realize that I have to be reminded at times, but as a local body, we employ over 40 people. So 40 people from our community who call this this place, Centerpoint Church, their employer, and issues come up that have to be dealt with. And I know I couldn't do that on my own. I'm very thankful for the group of leaders that I have in our church board. Something that's happened here recently is through our church board, able to have a Journey Early Learning Center liaison to be an arm to that organization, but also Central Care Mission and to keep us in track on what's going on over at Central Care Mission. Just recently, we had our annual church board retreat. We do that as we try to do that as we're getting into the new year. And I just want to give you a couple highlights out of that. Financially, as I said to you before, we continue to hold our own financially as a church. But we realize that we do that with the help of God. We do that through the provision of the Lord. It would be a misnomer and misleading for me to stand up here today and say that money flows like wine in this congregation. That's not the case. We have financial liabilities that we have to tend to in order to continue to be faithful. We have a large building. We've been praising the Lord for opportunities to decrease utility costs. And so as we move forward in the life of the church, as we move forward as leaders, we're going to be asking strategic questions in the days ahead about what does it look like for us as a church to be the most faithful leaders we can be to guide our congregation as faithfully as we can and do that in a way that is fiscally responsible, fiscally sound, and sets us up to see God's mission work through us in the days ahead. Looked at some areas of renewed focus, and I want to share just five things with you real quick. And in case you're wondering, we're starting to pull this thing in. We're about to come in for a landing, so hang on with me. But areas of renewed focus, as the board got together and we're asking the question about how do we grow into the future? How do we grow for the realities of the sake of the mission? We identified five things that we believe as church leaders we want to be able to hone in on over this next year. And the first one is to be able to prioritize the vision. I said to you earlier, kind of as a joke, this idea that maybe with all the information I was going to give you, you would feel like you were drinking out of a fire hose. I just want to share with you as a pastor, we do a whole lot of stuff. We do a whole lot of stuff as a church, and we realize that as we are doing stuff, we're competing with everything else that's going on in the world around us and in the world of Orlando and in the world of the lives of people. We realize that. We get it. I have three daughters of my own that are out there trying to live life. I understand that. And we believe that moving forward, we've got to be able to prioritize the mission and the vision so that perhaps we may be doing less in the days ahead, but doing it with more impact, not only in the life of our church, but also in the community. Also, there's a desire, again, for the connecting piece. When we talk about this connecting piece, we're talking specifically about the fellowship portion of our mission and our vision, that we're connecting believers to one another. Here's the current attrition rate in the church in North America. The current attrition rate in North America right now is 20%. And so what the experts will tell us about church attendance is the idea that if today there's 400 people in your congregation, 80 of those will be gone by the end of this year, and perhaps you will have recycled that with another 80. That's not okay. We don't want a revolving back door at Centerpoint where folks are able to come in and leave unnoticed. If you're part of Centerpoint, we want to be able to connect you into the lives of other believers so that we're not walking this journey alone. We're not walking this road alone. We believe in a renewed activity in our community, not empty activity, but purposeful activity in the lives of our community. And one of the ways that we see that happening in the days ahead are through some opportunities through our elementary schools. God has placed about 3,500 elementary school students within a 3-mile radius of this building. And we know God is calling us to be faithful to the mission and the vision that He placed on the hearts and lives of people that originally brought Centerpoint to this location to reach out to families with children and teens in the home. And that brings us to our next one, the next generation. Want to be taken seriously, that call to be reaching out to all people, but obviously to be able to reach into the lives of children and teens. And the last one is simply this call and recommitment to prayer. Currently, we have several opportunities with which we as a body are setting time aside to pray. This isn't new to you. This is things you've heard me talk about before. 10:10 every morning, we set this worship center aside so that people can come in and find a quiet place in order to prepare their hearts for worship. If you're not preparing your hearts for worship, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to take the 10 or the 15 minutes it would cost you to get to church early, to come into this place and to be able to sit or kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, whatever it is you want to say to me in this worship gathering today, here I am. Talk to me. I'm listening and I'm ready to be faithful to whatever you call me to. That's 10:10. Pastor Javier and Fabiana are here at 6 a.m. every Tuesday morning. So maybe you say, Dwayne, I'm not coming to your 10:10 time. Maybe you want to show up at 6 a.m. on Tuesday and pray for our students as Javi and Fabi with others walk the halls of this church and walk around the worship center and walk around the plaza praying for our students and the reality of the world that our teenagers are growing up in today. And then also there's the conviction that as a larger body in different ways and new ways, we will see a renewed emphasis in prayer. And the truth is, church, is this can't be programmatic in the sense that as a pastor or as a staff or leaders, we're saying to you, we should have better prayer lives. It starts with us. And here's the call that God gives in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. And I don't think I need to spend any breath this morning telling you that the land in which we live is troubled right now. We need the hope and the help and the movement of God in this place. A couple things that are coming up in the days ahead, and of everything I've said to you this morning, this is going to be the most awkward. Probably should have had Don come up here and do this one for me. Per the realities of the Church of the Nazarene and their attempts to care for clergy and care for pastors and to see pastors and pastoral staffs be able to move into a lifetime of ministry, the Church of the Nazarene encourages Sabbath rest for their pastors entering into their seventh consecutive year of ministry in a local church. That's going to happen for me in September. On September 18th, I will be entering into that seventh year. And so very excited. Very excited to get that conversation going with our pastoral care committee to talk about and discover what that Sabbath rest looks like for me and for my family. And that's going to be happening in this year. And I believe the Lord's going to guide us and direct us through that conversation and going to take care of us along the way. But also, very exciting, coming up next May. May 20th, 2018, Centerpoint will be celebrating 75 years. Can you believe that? Yeah. It's pretty cool. I was sharing with someone, the official opening of this church was on a Sunday in May, on the 20th of May. And so we'll get to celebrate now, 75 years later, what God has done over the years, over the decades, not only downtown, but now also a 12-year transition to East Orlando, and to see what this means for us as we move forward into the future. Well, I'll be remiss this morning if I didn't acknowledge our staff and our families. And so I want to say thank you to Pastor Ryan and Melissa. Thank you so much for all you do for our kids. Why am I crying? I haven't cried this entire time. I'm talking about all kind of stuff, and now, thanking Melissa, I start crying. Ryan and Melissa, two beautiful daughters, Kylie and Lily. Love having y'all in our midst. Pastors Javier and Fabiana and the boys. Pastor Alyssa and Brandon and the birth of baby Cora. So glad to welcome Cora to the family. Megan Blue, thank you so much for all that you do and for her family. Yeah. I said this to her this week, and part of my problem with Megan is that when I want to say something sincere, I have to be like, okay, Megan, this is real. Okay, like, listen, okay, it's serious. But I wanted to say to Megan truly is the glue that holds this place together the 5 days of the week of the work week as the offices are open and schools are in session and things are taking place physically. And she's not even in here to hear all this right now. You can pat her on the back later. But Megan makes it happen for us in that regard. And so thanks to the Blue family. Pastor J.V. Morse for all his care to our shut-ins, as he puts it, our shut-ins and those. J.V., thank you so much for all that you're doing out there. Nancy, thank you so much for your support of J.V. Also, Judy Beeler and Frank for ministry to our senior adults and our Sunday schools and our Wednesday nights. Judy, awesome. Thank you so very much. Will Foreman and his family. Will has been on staff with us for several years now, continues to help make it happen in our maintenance department and the physicality of this space. Thank you so much, Will. Also, Andrew Foster and Justin Santos are helping to make this happen. And Tom Geyer, also over here, one of our maintenance men, making it happen from week to week. mentioned, but Darcy, Abuel, Chris, the kids, Gracie and Riley and Christopher, thank you all so much for your leadership at Journey. And then, as I mentioned before, Darcy works with a much larger team of teachers at Journey. Thanks to all of our volunteers, all of our folks that make it happen on the worship team, the hospitality and greeting team, our Sunday school teachers, all of our community group hosts and our community group leaders, our primetime ministry leaders and that team, our children's workers, our youth workers, our college leadership, our communion servers, our upward leadership, and anybody else that I have either missed or forgotten about and have not mentioned this morning. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And lastly, I just want to say thanks to Marley and to my girls. And I want to thank Marley for putting up with me day in and day out, and for my girls for putting up with me. Marley is doing something, and I'm not sure how wise this was, but she has turned board meeting night into girls' night. And so every time I have board meeting, the girls are excited, like, yay, daddy's not going to be home. We have girls' night. Ruth, the former pastor, yeah, she understands that. But no, seriously, I don't know that I would be standing here today without the love and support of Marley for listening to me and forcing me to talk when I'm not and all that good stuff. She loves you. And if there's one person who will come to your defense quicker than anybody, it's her, because she's able to point out things in me and character flaws and all that good stuff that nobody else is willing to tell me. But my bride will tell me. And I am blessed for it, and I'm smarter and wiser for it, and I love you very much. And I also love you, Andy, and I love you, Avery, and I love you, Mia. We love being at Center Point, and we can't imagine ourselves anywhere else. We are baffled at how quickly 5.5 years have gone by, but we're excited about whatever the Lord has for us in the days ahead. It takes everyone being who God has called them to be within the body of Christ to see us prove faithful and effective in ministry and in the ministry God has entrusted to us in Orlando, Florida for 2017. The church is God's plan for telling our lost and broken world about the living hope we have in Jesus Christ. And we, as children of God, are the church. The church is not a building. It's not a program. It's not a location. We are the church, called to be the active, going people of God, sent to bless the world with His hope and love. We are the church, the people of God, called to go out into our world and bless them with the hope and love that can only be found in Jesus Christ. Respectfully submitted, Dwayne Adams.